So today's message on the 16th of November 2025, which is my middle son's birthday, 2 days after my eldest or our eldest son's birthday, is simply this. What was your excuse? Question mark. What was your excuse? Interesting title for hopefully an interesting message. I'm going to start with a reading from Luke 14, verses 16 to 25. And Jesus is replying to questions that have been put to him by the Pharisees and religious leaders of that time. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another one said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' And still another said, 'Well, I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' And then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.' Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple.'" Heavy reading, isn't it? Challenging. Can any of us become his disciple? Making excuses is something that we've all done, haven't we, from time to time, if we're honest. We might dress our excuses up as apologies or maybe even as reasons. Because let's face it, we wouldn't want people to think that we were always making up excuses, would we? That's not a very nice thing. The parable we've just listened to was a template for how people make up excuses, the types of reasons that the average person might rely on to basically say, "I won't be there," or "I couldn't be there because." So let's take a look at those three types of excuses that we've just heard. The first one said, "I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." This guy bought a field. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Everybody buys fields from now and again, do they? Maybe. Don't know how much he paid for it. Don't know how big the field was. But, you know, I guess that's not too important, really, is it? But clearly his business or his wealth was more important to him than attending this banquet. The certain man who had prepared the banquet and invited him along to join him in the celebration was clearly not considered important enough. And clearly it was too inconvenient to waste his time on going to that banquet. But why must he go and see the field on that particular day? Sounds like an excuse to me. Not a valid reason. A valid reason that snubs a generous invite. Perhaps he didn't actually like the person who invited him. Or he didn't want to be with the others who he knew would be there. Perhaps he felt superior to them and didn't want to mix with the lowlife. Maybe there was just clearly, well, there's nothing in it for me kind of thing. Interestingly, the second one involved money too. Instead of a field, this guy had just bought 5 yoke of oxen. That's like 10 farming animals, isn't it? Big, expensive tractors, in modern day terms, used for ploughing the ground. So this too is someone who puts his money and business before honouring the invite to what must have been an opportunity for blessing the host and the others who were invited. Maybe this guy was about to plough the first guy's field. Perhaps they were in business together. Who knows? Either way, they decided, both of them, that the banquet wasn't that important. It might have cost them valuable work time and a loss of money or profit. While I was writing this, that thought reminded me of something else that Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24 to 27. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Have you ever wondered that? What can you give in exchange for your soul? Certainly God's not interested in your wealth, your fields, your oxen. And then of course, there's Paul's way, the Apostle Paul's way of looking at this. In 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 11, he says to Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, Timothy, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." There's nothing wrong with money and nothing wrong with working hard. But if we give it too much importance in our lives, it can become an idol, a false god, more important than the things that God says are the most important. And it'll wear you down. If you work too hard, you get tired and ground down, and you won't enjoy the life that you're experiencing. So what did Jesus say were the most important things? He was asked that very question. In Matthew 22, 36 to 40, he was asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, before we go any further, it's important to understand that Jesus wasn't just talking about any old banquet. And he wasn't talking about the guy was just a guy who was organizing it. The parable was aimed at the religious leaders at that time, and the one who was planning the banquet was the master of the house, and Jesus was implying that everyone is invited and that his desire was that his house would be full, the house of God. But those invited didn't recognize the status of the master of the house. So they could easily turn it down. They didn't know what the invite was all about. And they considered that their own way of life was far more important and worthy of their time and attention than taking time out and going to this banquet that they'd been invited to. Now, the third answer that we heard, the third excuse, sounds less about money, doesn't it? Or business. And perhaps you think, well, this is kind of like a better excuse, surely. I've just got married, so I can't come. Why not? I can't come now. I've just got married. But think again. Perhaps he was on honeymoon. Or perhaps his wife would have given him a hard time if he'd gone off to this banquet when he should have been at home doing what newlyweds do, washing up and things like that. Perhaps he was afraid to upset her. Perhaps he just preferred being with her rather than at the house of the master. Now, the first two asked to be excused, remember? But this guy says, "I can't come. Maybe even if I wanted to, I can't come." Because he now has very important commitments which trump the master's wishes. And this is why it's so important to be married to someone who has the same or very similar priorities to yourself, especially in the area of faithfulness to Jesus and to each other. You see, Jesus is telling this story or parable to explain that God's invite is conditional on the person being invited actually accepting the invitation. John 3:14-15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert so that all that would look at the snake would be healed, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on that cross, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. There's your invite. Look up and accept. Nah, I'm too busy. Oh, I've just got married. She would never accept that. Or he would never accept that. The invite to the banquet that God is preparing for each one of us needs to be answered. It needs to be answered. God is actually saying at the bottom of the invitation, RSVP ASAP, as soon as possible. Today is the day of salvation. If you realized what it was that you're invited to, you would react very quickly. Now, you have to understand that the majority of people that you know, your acquaintances, will not respond to that invite in a way that reflects how important is the one who sent it. They just don't get it. If they really understood and realized how important it is to RSVP ASAP and what was at stake here, they would have metaphorically bitten his hand off. And that's the sad thing about this, though. Many people just don't get it. They don't get it. And don't see their need to be there at that banquet. They don't believe there is a banquet. They don't believe they've been invited. They can't possibly see themselves chosen in that way. It's almost like they think, well, it's just another works do or a Christmas party or something like that. Kind of, yeah, I can take it or leave it. There's something good on telly that night. I asked my neighbour once, probably a year ago or so now, I said, I just want you to know that you're very welcome to come along to church. She said, when is it? I said, it's 10:30 on a Sunday morning. She said, that's when the Archer's omnibus is on. And I never miss that. That was the answer to the invite. The Archers is on. I always watch the Archers. It's the catch-up over the whole week. But you're invited. I'm like, it's church, yeah. But what I'm doing is inviting her to this banquet by proxy. There's something we as Gentiles need to understand. If you're not Jewish, you are Gentile. Most, if not all of us here today, are Gentiles. Am I right? When Jesus told that parable about the banquet invites being turned down, he was speaking mainly to Jews who should have realized that Jesus was their Messiah. Some of them did, most of them didn't. But because their hearts were hard and they were more interested in the man-made temple, the power and the prestige of the synagogue and Mosaic law, not to mention the man-made rules that they had added to it, they couldn't see Jesus as anything other than a threat to the status quo that they created. A threat that they just had to get rid of. And as a result, although Jesus primarily came for his own people, the Jews, Abraham's descendants, it wasn't long before the invite was extended to us Gentiles. In fact, it was mainly the Apostle Paul that God used to do this, and that was also because the Jews couldn't or wouldn't accept that Jesus was indeed this Master of the house of Israel, the one making the invite, the one with the power, the one with the means of forgiveness, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. And this is what happened when he confronted the Jews who were in effect turning down the invite and rejecting Jesus. This is what it says in Acts 13:46-48. Remember, Paul was very much a Jew. He'd been trained up in all the stuff that the priests and Levites, all that, he knew it back to front. So when Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you Jews first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles." Aren't you glad? "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. They did RSVP ASAP. God is still sending out invites to join him at that banquet, but you won't get in unless you accept the invite. And if you make excuses, he will ask someone else instead. You'll only get asked a certain amount of times. In fact, the banquet is almost fully booked up now. This is what I mean. Paul explains that this can't go on forever as it is now. There is a time limit based on the final seating plan. In Romans 11:25, Paul says, "I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in." That's a finite. Full number is a finite number. It's not flexible. It is, there comes a point when enough is enough. At that point, the shutters, the scales come off the original people's eyes and they realize who he is. And it's happening now. We're getting more and more Jews turning to Jesus because all of a sudden they're reading things like Isaiah 53 and thinking, that is not Israel, that is Jesus that it's talking about in the Old Testament. The only reason we as Gentiles get an invite in the first place is because the people Jesus came for in the first instance, i.e. his own people, rejected him. Yet ironically, it wasn't the Jews who crucified him, was it? It was the Roman Gentiles at the insistence of the Jewish hierarchy. So, while we're waiting for the full number of Gentile believers to come in, think about this. If you're a believer and follower of Jesus today, that's really good. That's really good. You accepted the invite. Maybe you did have excuses in the past. Maybe it took you a while, like me. It took me a long time. I had loads of excuses. But one by one, you get rid of the excuses. And if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't accepted that invite, then one day you might be giving your excuses to a very, very high authority. And I don't think any of your excuses will be valid or useful to you in any way. Your name just won't be in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life, because you never accepted the invite. I heard something on the radio recently, within the last week, and it was just a small saying which kept going through my head, because it was really quite impactful. And it was this: if you are not spiritually fed, you will be emotionally led. Do you get that? If you are not fed spiritually, you will be led emotionally. Do you want to be led by your emotions? Because that is really bad. That's worryingly bad. If you react emotionally to every circumstance, if you're not feeding yourself spiritually, if you're not reading the Bible, if you're not trying to get stronger in your faith, you will end up tending towards being emotionally led. Accept the invite. Commit to go. And everything else will fall in line. Father, we thank you for your precious word. That, Lord, although some people think that you speak in riddles and the parables are just meaningless, Lord, the Spirit interprets for us the truth of what you say. And we just thank you that you are who you are. And for some inexplicable reason, Lord, you sent us invites. I wouldn't have sent me an invite, but I thank you that you did. And I pray for those who know they have an invite waiting to accept or reject. So RSVP, ASAP, ASAP, I pray. Amen.